Game Night with Matt Perrault continues now on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Game Night, SB Nation Radio, 10-9. Vikings with a lead over the Bears. Vikings of the football. We'll get an update from Soldier Field coming up in the next segment. But Harry Lyles Jr., great writer for SB Nation. He's the first person I thought of when we got into the Jamel Hill suspension, the vice president conversation, and the Jerry Jones threat. So I wanted to get him on the program. Harry, good evening. How are you? Do we have Harry? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, man, how are you?
How's it going, Matt?
Well, thank you for the time tonight. I want to start with the vice president, and I want to get your thoughts on, was it or was it not a stunt, in your opinion, and did it or did it not completely overshadow Peyton Manning in the day that was supposed to have been about the greatest Colts quarterback ever?
Well, to start with your second part, because I'm going to make that one pretty simple, it did overshadow Peyton's afternoon in Indianapolis, but I don't think, I mean, all due respect to Peyton Manning, you know, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but that really doesn't, like, matter because mm-hmm. of, because not because he did it, but because of the intent, because it was a political stunt. And that in itself, obviously, you know, became the bigger story because I think, you know, you could certainly create an argument that it's not, but with all the evidence that's out there between, you know, the duplicated photo and him having a nice, you know, prepared statement 20 minutes after he stopped tweeting.
Right.
After he said that he, you know, just left the game because, you know, he was just blown away that, oh my gosh, the 49ers, the team that started all this protesting, had half the team on me. Like, you know, that's not a coincidence. It was poorly executed on their part. You know, I think politicians pull these political stunts more often than we think sometimes. But with this particular administration, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, the execution of a lot of things just hasn't gone very well for them.
You know, this conversation was pretty much out of the public spotlight. It was still being talked about, but it wasn't as hotly, it wasn't a big topic anymore. It was sort of fizzling out. And yet they decided to bring it back. I made the statement that they did that because this is a winner for them with their base. But it also flies in the face of the idea of, well, don't make a football game a political statement. Don't make a political moment out of my football game. And that we heard that from a lot of people who are against the kneeling down of the national anthem. How does that square now in your mind? How do people square that? Have you heard people square that Pence did basically what they were angry about the football players doing?
So, yes, you hit on a very important point there that they need people in their corner right now, and they also kind of need a distraction from all the other important things that are actually going on in the world. Yeah. That's not to say that these protests against injustices, against people of color and inequality is not important, but there are some pretty big fish out there to fry for the President of the United States, and he decided he's going to pick a battle with the NFL, and by Vice President Pence going to the game and leaving, for the person that's not an NFL fan or even a casual NFL fan is going to look at that and, you know, just see everything on the surface and say, oh, he must have done the right thing because apparently somebody was disrespecting the flag. So, you know, he earned points with, you know, average Joe who doesn't watch football. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, wow. Well, the vice president really has the best interest of the country, you know, on his mind. But you and I both know very well that the reality of that is, that's not necessarily the case. Like these NFL players are, you know, they try to keep portraying this as a disrespect of the flag, the disrespect of the country, the disrespect of the military. You know, it's un-American. They don't want to be here. And that's not the case. It's not even close to being the case. Right. I mean, that's why Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed went from sitting to kneeling because right. when they talked to Nate Boyer, it's like, okay, this is a respectful way to do it. You know, while also, as Eric Reed wrote in his New York Times op-ed, it's almost like he felt as if it was, you know, taking a knee instead of sitting was like flying a flag at half-mast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because all they want to do is, yes, deliver the message, but at the same time, you know, there is action being put behind this. So, you know, for the president and the vice president to have executed this, I totally understand what they're trying to do, and that's obviously, you know, just get some people on their side, right? I mean, you know, his approval ratings are in the tank right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they just had to get really any kind of win they could.
Harry Lyles, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. The thing that frustrated me, too, about all this, and maybe I just, I don't know, maybe I'm somebody who wants to be an optimist, but the vice president could have met with Eric Reed before that game and could have had a conversation with Eric Reed about, why do you feel this way and why are you doing this? Because I feel like what you're doing is distracting from whatever, and have a dialogue with those players, because the 49ers were the ones that started it. And as the former mayor of, former governor of Indiana, Mike Pence knew exactly what was about to happen inside of that building. I mean, he knew exactly what he was going to walk into. So to act like his quote blood was boiling, as Kellyanne Conway said on Fox News today, is a joke. I mean, right? He knew what was about to happen, and yet he chose to still go and have this whole entire charade play out.
He knew what was going to happen, and he and Trump went in there with one goal, right? And but see, that's funny you say, because of course, you know what? Like, any like decent human being would like to have a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's hear your side of things, right? Because there's no way, like myself, as a minority in this country, like I've had experiences, Matt, that you'll never experience in your life.
Right.
Like I worry about things on a day-to-day basis that you don't have to worry about. And right, and that goes for a lot of us. My colleague Tyler Times will tell you the exact same thing. But the administration and the people that we are dealing with and the divisiveness that has been created, the other side, the people that believe that these players are disrespecting the flag, they don't like the country, this, that, and the other, they don't want to hear the other side, right? Because mm-hmm. this is all about, a lot of people in this country think black people and other people of color have it good enough, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just because of, you know, the civil rights movement in the 60s, like all this progression that we've made in a ton of arenas of life, not just sports, but, you know, all these other laws that have been passed to allegedly try to help, you know, create equality. And people think, okay, well, since those things are in place, everything's fine. And it's not, because a lot of these things have been established over hundreds of years, but it's really easy for people to forget because we didn't live in the 1700s or the 1800s,
right,
or even like, you know, 90, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, right? My uncle was a Vietnam veteran, you know, served, I think, two tours, and he came back and he couldn't buy a car because he was black. You know, so it's people don't really understand. If they really wanted to listen and took the time to listen to the side of the players protesting, this wouldn't even be an issue. But nobody wants to hear them out, you know?
Well, that's why I was very insulted and angered by Jerry Jones's comments about the fact that if any player kneels down, they won't be playing for me anymore. They won't be wearing a cowboy uniform, because basically that's essentially what the president said in Alabama. And now Jerry Jones, after kneeling down on that Monday night in Arizona, angered the president to no end, as I'm sure we all can kind of speculate. And now Jerry Jones is saying, okay, since I did that, Mr. President, I'm going to now come out and say this on the same weekend that Mike Pence comes out and has this whole entire situation. It just feels so coordinated by them to keep this in the general topic. But how will Cowboy fans, how should Cowboy players deal with that threat from their owner?
It's tough to say. I don't think you're going to see anything change. And I only say that because NFL players are in a very, very bad spot. You know, they get the least amount of guaranteed money across sports. And, I mean, we've seen time and again, like, your career could end after one game. Not necessarily right, because of injury, but just because, say, like, you tweak a hamstring, somebody else comes into your place and they start kicking some butt, you're done, right?
Right.
There's no need for you anymore. Somebody is not only, you know, playing better than you, but getting paid less. There's no need for you. Go somewhere else, right? I mean, we saw that happen as soon as last year with Tony Romo. If it could happen to Tony Romo, like, it could happen to any of these players that are, you know, middle-of-the-pack type talent that decide to take a knee. Because guess what? There's a bunch of other guys out there just fiending for a chance to get on that NFL field. And they can pay them a heck of a lot less, and they're not going to take a knee because guess what? They're trying to make a living off of football.
Mm.
You know? So it's going to be, I think what we saw after Trump's initial comments at that rally, that's probably going to be the extent of, you know, the volume of players, you know, making demonstrations. And mm-hmm. even then, the whole, you know, linking arms or taking a knee before, you know, the anthem and stuff like that, that's you know, watering it down.
True.
I think this thing is, it's seen its peak, but that does not mean that the activism is over, because my colleague Tyler Times has documented on SB Nation very well for the past year and change, players are, you know, taking the time off the field to, you know, try to help better this world.
Which is great, and that leads us to our our final topic, and that is ESPN's suspension of Jemele Hill tonight for 2 weeks for tweeting about, and at least kind of in a roundabout way, talking about a boycott of the Cowboys sponsors. Now, I actually am I'm on ESPN's side on this. I think she really overstepped it and went into a bad situation where she created the controversy in the conversation around the Cowboys sponsors that wasn't already out there in the conversation. She brought it in, and thus that's why she got suspended. How do you feel about the suspension for Jemele Hill? Was it warranted? And there's a lot of anger right now inside of ESPN from her colleagues about this, and we might see some big shakeups instead of ESPN because of this.
So this is a mixed bag for me, right? Just myself as a writer trying to, you know, help bring change to this world. She said the right thing in terms of, like, okay, if you want to go make a change, here's how you need to do it. That point you cannot argue. She did that.
True.
Now, where ESPN is correct is, okay, if you have mutual sponsors and one of your biggest personalities is speaking out and saying, hey, don't buy their product, or, you know, boycott it, or this and the other, then, I mean, that's kind of where you force their hand. If it was up to me, I wouldn't suspend Jemele.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite the mixed bag. Like I said, I agree with her stance. I think here at SB Nation, we have a much looser social media policy.
Sure.
But for that network, and, you know, obviously there's already plenty of criticism, you know, that's been surrounding them for the past however many months, whether it's got to do with Britt McHenry, or, you know, Curt Schilling, or, you know, some of the past things Jemele, or, you know, some others have said. For them, you know, they had enough cost to where they can make that move and it's not a big deal, but I don't necessarily agree with it. But I do understand why they kind of had to do it, unfortunately.
Because some of the sponsors that she was tweeting about are also sponsors of not just the NFL, but also ESPN sponsors.
So right. I think that was
that's a problem.
That was the difference there. Because if you don't have, I can't remember what some of the mutuals were, whether it's like Dr. Pepper, and I think Miller Coors.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably the tipping point. If some of those sponsors weren't mutual, she might have gotten away with that.
Agreed.
But I mean, I support Jemele 100%. You know, I'm always going to. It's a trying time in this country, obviously, in many different arenas. And Jemele went in with good intent. And you know what? She very might have well tweeted that knowing she was going to get suspended. But either way, I respect her for what she did, because I probably would have done the same thing.
Harry, great stuff. Love the conversation. Thank you so much for the time. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Appreciate you, Matt.
That is Harry Lyles Jr. You can follow him on Twitter at Harry Lyles Jr. Great guy, great follow, and some really thought-provoking writing on SBNation.com. One of the guys I really, really enjoy reading, and love the fact that we have such a great relationship and a great association with SBNation.com and guys like that. We're back with an update from Monday Night Football next, SBNation Radio.